He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Happy Easter, everybody. Man, this has been an awesome day. Four services this morning. We got a service online that you're watching right now. And today I want to talk to you about Easter. And maybe not surprisingly, I want to talk to you about the power that God gives us because of his resurrection. Think of all the questions I've been asked in ministry over the years. Probably the number one question that people have asked is something like this. Pastor, why is it so hard to change? Why can't I get out of this rut? I want to change. I do, Pastor, but I just don't know how, I guess, because nothing seems to happen. Or maybe I just don't have the power to change. I don't know. We go to seminars, right? We go to conferences looking, get online, looking for this painless cure that's somehow going to zap our life and all of a sudden change us instantly and give us that self-discipline that we've been looking for. Or maybe we go on diets. I mean, we've all probably been on a diet from time to time, right? In fact, I'll tell you, I once went on a diet for an entire afternoon. It was brutal, right? Or we join a health club thinking that this time's going to be different. And our enthusiasm is just awesome. It goes great for about 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden, something happens and it begins to wane. And we sort of go back into the same old rut that we were in the first place. It's hard to change. We read self-help books, maybe, or articles. But the problem with these things is that, yeah, they tell you what to do, but they don't really tell you or give you the answer on how to actually do it. Or they don't really tell you how you find the power, the energy, the resolve to actually, you know, change. They say things that are great, like get rid of all of your bad habits. By the way, God says that too. He says, follow the Ten Commandments, get rid of all the sin. But that's hard too, isn't it? They'll say things like, be positive, don't be negative. Well, that's great, but how, we ask. And so where do I get the power to actually change? I mean, I think that's one of the basic problems that we have in life, isn't it? Because we lack, it seems, the power to actually make these changes in our life. So the question I want to look at this morning is simply this. How do I get out of a rut? How do I break out of the mold that I'm in, that I've been struggling with? Where do I get the power to get off center and actually move again? And if you've been wondering that lately, I've got some great news for you this morning. Because that's what Easter is truly all about. Helping us move off center, helping us change, helping us refine this God that loves us so much. Philippians 3 verse 10, it says this, all I want to know is Christ and to experience the power of his resurrection. You hear that? The power of his resurrection. In Ephesians 1:20, it says, I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe in him. The same mighty power who raised Christ from the dead. I want you to notice that word power. It's used in the New Testament 57 times. It is a book of power. And Easter is, by far, the most powerful event that has ever happened in the history of man. It separates AD and BC. All of history was split by one powerful event. And what is that power? It's this. It's the power to change your life. But again, we ask how. How in the world do we do that? How do I have the power to actually change? And how does God change me and make me what I want to be and what he wants me to be? The answer, again, is power. Think of the new chaplain who was at prison and he was doing ministry there. He was nervous because it was his first week and he was assigned a death row of all places. Anyway, he was trying to be positive and all that kind of stuff when he went to counsel one of the guys that was going to be executed on the next day. And so he said, I've really been praying for you. And the guy said, but you don't understand, Pastor. Tomorrow I'm going to be on the electric chair. And the chaplain said, well, more power to you. That's just horrible, isn't it? Paul says it this way, though. I want to know the power of the resurrection. The Greek word for power is this word dunamis. And it just is translated dynamite. God says, I want to give you dynamite power in your life. Paul said, I want to know this. It's part of my personal goal, he says. I want you to know it too, he says. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead 20,000 years ago is available for your life right now to change your life. So what does this power look like? Well, I'll tell you, it's the power to cancel your past. Now think about that just for a second. That just means all of your failures, all of your mistakes, your sins, all of your regrets. When I say cancel, though, I'm not talking about denying the past. I mean, it happened. I'm not saying it never happened. It did. Cancel simply means to eliminate or to neutralize or to offset. Have you ever been halfway through a project and kind of wish that you could start over? Kind of maybe like painting a living room with your wife or something like that. I mean, a lot of people feel that way about life sometimes. I just wish I could start over. Not the marriage, just the walls I'm talking about. But I made so many mistakes, right? I wish I could wipe them out. Failures, problems, bad decisions. Everybody has regrets because nobody's perfect. I don't measure up to my own standards most of the time, much less God's. But some people just can't seem to let go of their past. And as a result, right, they just let their past control their present. They live in a state of regret continually, and they're continually saying, if only. They're continually second-guessing themselves. And as a result, they're just tortured by painful memories of the past. I blew it, they say, and therefore I'm going to have to pay for it for the rest of my life. There's no changing it, no turning back. But God says that that's so unnecessary. God says it's unnecessary for you to go around every single day of your life with this heavy load of guilt or of old hurts or of bad memories or of horrible mistakes. And this is why he says it. In Colossians 3:14, it says, he has forgiven all of our sins and canceled every record of our debt that we had to pay. In other words, Christ has done away with it by nailing it to the cross. It says he's forgiven all our sins. And what is a sin? Well, it's sort of an archery term, right? It comes from bows and arrows. When a person in archery would shoot an arrow at a target or a bullseye and miss that target, it was called a sin. It missed the mark, in other words. And that's why the Bible says all have sinned, fallen short. So that reality is that we don't live up to our own goals most of the time, much less God's. But the good news is that God offers here complete forgiveness. He says he cancels every record of debt in your life. The words that describe forgiveness in the Bible are things like blot out or wipe out or washed away or canceled. And all those, just to say this, that is completely forgotten in his eyes. Because here's the deal. Jesus Christ knows the things that we've done. He knows what you've done, what I've done. He knows all the things that we've done wrong. But he did not come to rub it in. He came to rub it out. He did not come to condemn you. He came to change you. Jesus himself said in John 3:17, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save the world. He says, I cancel out all of your past mistakes. The Bible says that's what God does to all the mistakes that we've ever done in our lives. When we come to him in repentance, he wipes it clean. In Jeremiah 31:34, it says, I will remember their sins no more. It's got to be one of the most amazing verses in all of the Bible, doesn't it? God, who made the world, forgets. God chooses to forget your wrongs, your mistakes, your failures, when you come to him and admit that you've sinned. When you come to him and ask him to forgive your sins, he cancels your past. That's good news. Some of you, if you would say today, Christ Jesus, I just want you to forgive me for all the things that I've ever done wrong. I want to give my life to you, Lord. I want to make that commitment to you today because I want that kind of healing for my past. And then if you were to die tonight and stand before God in heaven and say, God, you know, about that sin I committed yesterday, he'd say, you know, what sin? Or what are you talking about? Some of you have maybe made some major mistakes in business or in relationships. You'd go to heaven and you'd say, hey, about that. And he'd say, what mistakes? Some of you have made some horrible decisions and gone through a divorce. And he'd say, what divorce? You see, God cancels our past. And that allows you, that gives you the power to get on with the present. But you ask, what is the basis for that forgiveness? Romans 8:1 tells us, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, one of his last words that he said from the cross were these, "It is finished." In the Greek, that's one word. It literally means paid in full, canceled. It was what they would stamp on the bills when they had been paid. It was what they would stamp on the prison sentences when they had been commuted. Paid in full. God says, that's what I did on the cross for you. I paid for every one of your mistakes that you have ever made. So Jesus was crucified on the cross so that you could stop crucifying yourself. That's good news. Because if God forgets a sin the moment you confess it to him, don't you think that just maybe you ought to forget it too? For example, how long do you remember a bill that's been paid? To be honest, not very long, is it? I forget it immediately, to be honest. I don't worry about last month's utility bill, not even a little bit. Once it's been paid, I forget about it. So somebody said, God takes all your mistakes, all of your failures, and he puts them in the deepest part of the sea when you give them to him. And then he puts up a no fishing sign. So first and foremost, this power that God has for us, that he gives us on Easter through Jesus, is the power to cancel your past. What else is it? It's the power to conquer your problems. See, the fact is that everybody's got problems. You've got problems, I've got problems. It's just a part of life, isn't it? But I think our real problem is, what do we do with the problems in our life? I think most of the time we just kind of automatically try to solve them in our own power and our own strength, which, you know, works out with varying degrees of success, to be honest. And so how do you know when you're trying to solve your problems in your own strength? And the answer to that is usually is that you just get tired all the time, right? You're so busy trying to put out all the fires. You're so busy trying to just keep up with life that you're just sick all the time. That you're sick and tired of, you know, being sick and tired. Guy goes out mountain climbing one day and he falls off the cliff. Halfway down, he grabs onto the ledge and he's looking down. It's 1,000 feet below him. It's 2,000 feet up, you know, and he's thinking, how in the world am I going to get out of this? And he starts praying, God, please, please get me out of this. Oh, God, please hear me. I'm going to depend on your power. I'm going to depend on your strength. God, help me. Voice from heaven comes down and just says this, trust me. Let go and I will catch you. God thinks about it for a bit. He looks back up and he says, hey, is there anybody else up there that might be able to help me? But Jesus at Easter gives us the power to conquer your problems. Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or danger? No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. Note the word conquerors. That means, according to Webster, one who overcomes by gaining control. I've literally met hundreds of people who feel like their lives are just spiraling out of control. Hundreds of people where they say stuff like, I'm just a victim of my own circumstances. I can't seem to get out of them. What can I do? I'm powerless to change, Pastor. Just about the time I make ends meet, somebody, you know, moves the ends. And you know, I think that's true for a lot of people. The fact is we can't control our own circumstances most of the time, but we can control how we respond to them. But one of you says, Pastor, you don't know my problems. You don't know all the problems that I'm going through right now, the difficulty, it's bad. And you're having this amazing pity party for yourself. Everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. I'm going to go eat worms kind of thing. And so if you're there today, hear this verse again. It says we are more than conquerors. In the Greek, it just says we are super conquerors. In other words, he's saying that we can have an overwhelming victory in our lives because of Jesus, if we just trust him. That if you put your life in God's hands and you rely on the power of the resurrection, nothing can devastate your life. Nothing can swallow you up. Nothing can destroy you. And you know what? That's the message of Easter. No matter how dark the situation is, God can turn it around. Question is, do you believe that? Do you really believe that what you really believe is really real? Because again, because of Jesus, no situation is hopeless. Why? Because God loves to turn crucifixions into resurrections. The same power that enabled Jesus Christ to rise from the dead, he promises will allow you to rise over your problems. It's the power to cancel your past. It's the power to conquer your problems. And lastly, it's the power to change. The fact is that God uses a two-step process when he changes us. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a new person inside through the work of the Holy Spirit. God just starts working. But because God is working, he's not the same anymore. I mean, we've changed. The Spirit is changing us. A new life has begun. And so what happens? Well, God says, I wipe out all of your past. All of it's gone now. You don't have to keep beating yourself up for it, right? It's like we're starting over. It's like you get this do-over. Remember kickball? That's why the Bible calls it being born again. Born again doesn't mean reincarnation. It just means you get another chance to start over, to experience a new life. But then it's followed by a lifetime process. In Galatians 5:22, verse 23, it says, when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in our lives. Ready for it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, how many of those that you work with did that described? Rather than being loving, to be honest, we usually feel pretty unloved and unlovely or just flat out unloving. Rather than joy, we're defeated. We're sometimes depressed and discouraged. Rather than finding peace, so often we're caught up in being uptight or feeling pressure. Rather than finding patience, we're frustrated. We're irritated with like everybody. Instead of kindness, it's every man for himself. Goodness? See, there's nothing good about me. Or sometimes we even say that about life. Faithfulness, many people feel betrayed today, rejected, alone. Gentleness, we normally feel angry or resentful, not gentle. Self-control, my life is falling apart, people say. But these are the characteristics of the person who lets the power of God work in his life. This isn't something you work up. It's not something you get from trying to force yourself to be more loving or more joyful. It's a lifetime process and something that God does to you on the inside through his power over the course of time. And I say all that because sometimes I think the hardest thing to get in this life is to get going. I know it's true. It's one thing for me to come in here and say to you guys this morning, Jesus Christ can cancel your past. He can help you conquer your problems that you're facing right now. And he can change your personality. And you go out saying, great. I mean, one of these days, I'm going to let God do that. And one of these days, I'm going to let that power of God actually work in my life. So I just want to ask you this one question as we part this morning. What does Easter mean to you? Is it an ancient event, a day to come to church? No, it's a day to celebrate that Jesus Christ is alive. And since he is alive, that he not only saves you, but he also gives you this power to release and to trust and to get going and to change. So my question then is, why not experience the power of Jesus this Easter? Why not let him heal the past? Why not let him give you the power to overcome the problems in your life? Why not trust him to give you the strength to change? Guys, Jesus makes a real difference. He came to save you from yourselves so that you could be with him forever in heaven. My prayer today is that you take him at his word today. And you trust him to accomplish these things in your life, starting today. And that's my prayer for you. Have an amazing Easter. And once again, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Let me pray. God, we love you so much, and we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, just for reminding us that he does make a difference in our life, that we can experience peace on this earth. I mean, real peace, not anxiety and stress and worry and fear, but real peace, trusting that you've got us as we're going through this life, trusting that you've forgiven us from our past, trusting that you'll be there every step as we keep going. That because of Jesus, there is nothing that's impossible. There is no situation that we're in that you can't overcome, that you can't come through, and that you can't give us the strength to persevere through. There is nothing that is impossible. And because of Jesus, we can change. There is no sin that we can't overcome through your strength. There is no situation that we can't endure because of your strength. There is nothing that we can't accomplish through Christ who is within us. Let these truths not just reside in our minds today, Lord, but let them change our hearts. And that's my prayer today, in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Guys, go with this amazing blessing today. May our Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious always unto you. And may he look upon you now with his favor and grant you forever his peace. And all God's people said, amen.